Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Abiding is having a relationship with God. Abide in me as I abide in me and I abide in you. Can you see that? Without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Right? Abiding in Christ and we abiding in him is an issue of a relationship between Christ and us, between us and Jesus Christ. And bearing fruit flows from that relationship that we have with him. Can you see that? The issue of bearing fruit then, it flows from the relationship that we have with him. Each and every one of us ought to have our own unique relationship with Jesus Christ. Although we are a body of Christ, a collective, but each one of us, just like a parent that has got children, they've got unique relationships with their children. They don't have the same relationship with every child, and yet the parents, they love all their children equally, but they have their own unique relationship with each and every child. So it is the same with God. Although we are the body of Christ, we are the church of Jesus Christ as a collective, as a unit. And yet, each and every one of us must have their own personal experiential relationship with him. And how we grow flows from that relationship that we have with him. It goes without saying then that those who are not growing in Christ, those who are not bearing fruit, it's because they don't have a relationship with him. What is Christianity? It is a relationship with God. Without a relationship with God, there is no Christianity. That's why we keep on saying times without number that Christianity is not a religion, because it's not a religion. It is a relationship with the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ought to know him for yourself. You can't follow others for the sake of following others. No, you have to follow because you are following the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who you ought to have your own relationship, your own unique relationship with. Are we together, church? It is when we are in a relationship with God that we grow and produce the character of the kingdom. It's when we have a relationship with the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when we abide in him, right? That we grow and we produce the character of the kingdom, which is the nature and the character of Christ. The nature and the character of Christ. This is what we ought to grow. But how does this grow? How does this come about? It comes from the relationship that we have with him. We grow into Christ's likeness. We grow into who Jesus Christ is. It's what it's all about. You don't become a Christian for blessings. You don't become a Christian because you want your business to work. You don't become a Christian because you want a wife. You don't become a Christian because you want a husband. You don't become a Christian because you want a child. You don't become a Christian because you want a job. No, this is a relationship we are talking about. These things may draw you to him. They may be a means to the end, but these things are not the end unto themselves. Yes, these things. It is when we are in pain, when we suffer, that we are easy to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into our lives. When things are going okay, when things are going right for us, sometimes it becomes very difficult to even consider to become a Christian, to even consider the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to even begin to consider God in the first place when things are going right. But it's when we at our lowest ebb, when things are not going well for us, when we feel the pinch, when we feel the squeeze, when we feel the pain, that we begin to consider that there is a God, that we begin to consider that we did not make ourselves, but were made by a God. And we know that with this God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. If anyone does not abide in me, verse number 6, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Cast out of the kingdom. Christ came to give us a kingdom, not a religion. That's why Christianity is not a religion, because it did not come into the world that is filled with religions. It did not come to give us another religion, but it came to give us a relationship. If anyone does not abide in Christ, if anyone does not have a relationship with Jesus, that one will eventually be kicked out of the kingdom. That one will eventually be kicked out of the kingdom. Now, this person may still be going to church, but is no longer in the kingdom, but in a religion. See, once kicked out of the kingdom, this person may still be going to church, may still be doing the things that they've always been doing. But now they are in a religion without them even knowing it, because they do not have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But they are in a religion. If anyone does not, it's not a threat. It is not symbolic. It is realistic. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out. It's not symbolism. This is truth. It's not symbolism, church. This is truth. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. This one dies spiritually. Begins to wither. Everything in their life begins to wither, begins to die. They die, and it says, and they gather them, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned. This is the eternal damnation. This is the eternal death. The eternal death. This is painful for me. And I think one of the reasons why I think the Lord is keeping me here for a while is because of the pain that is in this. Notice, this is the person who was already in the vine. But this is the person who did not produce fruit. You know? I think there's a thing in English, so near yet so far away. So near and yet so far away. Look at the end of this person. Look at the end of this person. And remember verses 1 and 2, it also says exactly the same thing. That you are cast out, you are removed. But the person was already in the vine, but they did not produce. They did not produce the nature and the character. The nature and the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Galatians 4:19, Paul says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Underline, until Christ is formed in you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again. Until now, you are not growing. Until now, you are not producing fruit. Until now, you are not producing the character. You're not producing the nature of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My little children, you are not bearing the fruits of your salvation. And for those who are not growing into the nature and the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he tells you that they will be kicked out of the kingdom. They will be cast out. And he tells you when he casts you out, you begin to wither immediately. Everything in you will begin to wither with almost immediate effect. Hallelujah. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until you grow and produce the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. To a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To the perfect man, to the full. You see, God's expectation is that we come to a perfect man, to the fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness. This is God's expectation. This is the fruit bearing that he's talking about. This is the fruit bearing that he says, if it's not taking place, I'm going to cast you out. If it's not taking place, I'm going to remove you. I'm going to cast you out of my kingdom. Because it's my kingdom and it operates according to what I say, according to what I want, to what is already predetermined. Are we together, friends? Stature means height. Now it says, till we reach the highest level of maturity in Christ. Till we all reach the highest level of maturity. God can never ask you something that God cannot do for you. Of course, this is done by him. So this is possible by him and through him. And this is his express will. This is what he wants. Till we reach the highest level of maturity in Christ. Friends, growth and maturity in the kingdom of God is a command. Growth and maturity in the kingdom of God. Listen, he does not tell us to gather together for no reason. He does not put us into the body of Christ for no reason. We are not placed by God into a church. We read about this last week. He's talking about the overseers, the shepherds, taking care of the flock of God, to which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. He does not put us in churches for no reason. You don't belong in a particular flock in the kingdom of God for no reason. Right? There must be growth and maturity. Till we come to a perfect man, to the measure. There's a measure to be attained. There's a measure, friends, to be attained. You are not in church for the sake of just being in church. You are not in church waiting for your dying day. You are not in church to wait until you die and you meet Jesus as the Lord and Savior. I'm going to say this again. If you have not known Jesus while you are still alive, you will never know Jesus after death. If you have not known him as a living person here on earth, you'll never know him. You'll never know him as a dead man. So if you've missed him while you're alive, you will not find him when you are dead or after you die. There's no finding him after you die. Hallelujah. Till we reach the highest level of maturity in Christ. Listen to me again as I repeat myself. Growth and maturity is a command. What God commands becomes law. Any and everything that God says becomes law. Becomes unchangeable. Becomes unchangeable. 1 and 2, John 15. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And I say this again, this is not symbolism. this is real, this is truth. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, he purges, that it may bear more fruit. The issue of conforming to the nature and the character of Jesus Christ is mandatory, it's compulsory in the kingdom. For us to conform, to grow into Christ's likeness, into who Jesus is, it's compulsory. The kingdom of God is for such who have grown, who have matured, who have become like Jesus. Become like Jesus in nature. Become like Jesus in character. Become like Jesus in behavior. Become like Jesus in conduct. Become like Jesus in thinking. Become like Jesus in speech. This is what he's talking about. You ought to bear fruit because the kingdom of God is for such. The kingdom, this kingdom we are talking about is for such. That's why if you don't bear fruit, he will cast you out. He cuts you off. Because you don't belong to the kingdom. Although you were chosen by grace, but refusing to grow, refusing to mature, refusing to produce the fruit of your salvation, of your repentance, refusing to produce the fruit of this kingdom, then he will cut you off. You don't belong. You don't belong. Many Christians are bona fide church members, giving generously far above and beyond their 10%, giving generously. They are very helpful. They serve in the ministry. They do everything. But some of these people of God may have already been rejected because there is no change in them. There is no growth in them. There is no likeness of Jesus in them. There is no character of Christ in them. At the time when they're supposed to have grown, that's why Paul says to the Hebrew Christians, by now you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teaching others, but you, up to now, you still need again to be taught the fundamentals, the elementary things, the things of initial stages, beginning. Was he praising them? Of course not. Was he reprimanding them? Of course yes. Was he rebuking them? Of course yes. Was God happy? Was God pleased with them? Of course not. Of course not. By this time, exactly like the fig tree, when he's expecting to find fruit, there is no fruit. What did he do? Curse the fig tree. Curse the fig tree. Right? Was this act of Jesus Christ, did it say anything about Israel? Of course it did. Of course it did. Israel led Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. They did not listen to him. They did not listen to him. And disobedience is cast out from the kingdom. The disobedient cannot continue to abide in the kingdom. Those who do not change, who cannot change, cannot continue to abide in the kingdom. I think the sad part is, like I'm trying to say here, that the sad part is when one thinks that they are still in the kingdom when they are no longer. When they're no longer, and then everything that they try to do is not working. Everything they try to do is not working. Everything they try to do is not coming together. It's not working. Everything they try to do is not working. It's not coming together. But they believe they're still in the kingdom, but they're no longer in the kingdom, because even the fruit that they're producing is not the fruit of the kingdom. And this is to tell them that they're no longer in the kingdom. They're no longer in the kingdom. Do things happen to us who are in the kingdom? Of course things do happen, but God intervenes. But God intervenes. And not only that, any and everything that happens to us in the kingdom, God has weighed it. God has weighed it. That's why nothing happens to anyone who is in the kingdom of God that will break them, that will kill them, because God, he weighs it first. Why does he do that? He does that for those that are in his kingdom. That's why anything that a person in the kingdom survives, it might kill you. Saying this, because that's what people like to say. What I've survived might kill you. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. For whom he foreknew, Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Please, that verse, that line is extremely, extremely important. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Underline the word predestined. He predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For us to be conformed to the image, to the nature, to the character of Jesus, it was predestined. It was set in place before the foundation of the world. It was set in place before you and I were even made. When it tells you about fruit bearing, it's not because Jesus woke up that morning and said, what am I going to tell the people today? What am I going to teach the people today? No, it was predestined. No one can change it. It's predestined to be conformed. Listen, it says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you don't conform to his image, you are not one of those born of God. Jesus, that he might be the firstborn. Firstborn, then there will be others. So unless you are conformed to his image, you can never be a child of God. It was predestined. You can never be a child of God. Jesus does not know you as a brother. You are not his brother. That Romans 8:29 is extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. God foreknew us, of course he foreknew. Listen, must I say this? We were born again, we were saved before the foundation of the world. He foreknew us. And he also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Not to remain the way we are, the way we were found when we were born again. No, but born again, that we may be conformed. Born again, that we may be transformed. Born again, that we may be transfigured. Born again, that we may be changed. Born again, that we may convert. We may be changed. It was predestined. When Paul says we have the mind of Christ, when did we have a mind of Christ? When? It's growth. Abiding. The more you bear fruit, the more you change, the more you transform into his image. When we say we are new creatures in Christ, what is a creature? A creature is something you cannot explain. And it tells you, this is a creature that has never been before. It is a new creature. A creature is something you cannot explain. So when it tells you we are new creatures in Christ, there's never been any like of us before. It's never been there. These that are made conformable to Jesus, to the last Adam, made conformable to the second man. There's never been. They are made conformable to the last Adam, to the second man. They've never been. There's been the first Adam, and we all took the nature of the first Adam. But Christ is a life-giving spirit. Now we took the nature of the life-giving spirit. Who can explain the life-giving spirit? And those who have the nature of the life-giving spirit in them, who can explain? Now Paul says, because he cannot put this into words, he says, you are new creatures. He could not put it into words.
Glory.
The kingdom of God is the kingdom of the new creatures. That's why if you cannot metamorphose into the new creature, there will come a time when the owner of the kingdom cast you out. So near and yet so far away. So near and yet so far away. Am I talking to believers here? There are things that are unexplainable. He couldn't explain it. These ones are bearing the image of the Son of God. How do you explain a person bearing the image of the Son of God? How do you explain that person? You know the first Adam, but you don't know the last Adam. The world does not know the last Adam. That's why the world rejected the last Adam. But now these are bearing the image of the last Adam. The firstborn of God. How do we explain the first begotten of God? And he says, the rest of them are bearing the image of the first begotten of God. The firstborn, that he might be the firstborn. So everyone must bear that image. In the kingdom, they bear that image. In the kingdom, they bear that image. If they don't bear that image, he says, I kick them out. Them out. Oh, hallelujah. In Luke, it tells of a parable. It says there was this landowner, and he went away, and when he came back, he got there to the gardener, to the vine dresser, and he says to the man, says, I've got a fig tree here, but I see every time when I come to check my garden, this fig tree is not growing. And the owner of the vine, of the vineyard, says to the gardener, cut it off. Cut it off. Let it wither. Throw it away. Burn it. Let them burn it. And the vine dresser begins to intercede. He begins to beg the owner. Begins to beg his landlord, his employer. He says, please, I'm begging you. Let me please just give me 3 more years. I'll do the best I can. I'll dig around it. I'll put manure. I'll water it. I'll take care of it. And then the vine dresser says, and if this tree still does not bear fruit after 3 years, then you may do as you please. Who tells the parable? Jesus. What is he trying to explain? The kingdom. The kingdom. The man says, I'll dig around it. Please, he's interceding. Says, please, please, I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize. I'll water. I'll take care of it. Give me 3 years. Give me 3 years. If after 3 years you come back and it doesn't bear fruit, then you may do as you please. The kingdom of God that we are in. Fruit bearing is mandatory. It's compulsory. It's a command. How many of us do we really know for a fact whether we are still in the kingdom or not? If we're really still in the kingdom or not. Because there's no change of character. 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 There is no change of character. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. Remember he talked about, he also for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, are being conformed, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Being changed, being made conformable to the likeness of His Son. He loves Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. Just as He chose us in Him, just as God chose us in Christ, listen, before the foundation of the world, that's what we call predestined. When were we chosen? When were we born again? When were we saved? That means God knew before He made the world. That's why His Son was slain before the foundation of the world. God knew before He made the world who would reject Him and who would accept Him. Long before Christ came, it was known who was going to reject Him and who was going to receive Him. That's what we're talking about. So that's what predestination is all about. Just as He chose us in Christ, just as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be holy and without blame. The image of Christ, holy and without blame. This is the image we bear. This is the likeness into which we grow. This is the likeness into which we mature. Right? Holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. What are we trying to say? You can't change what's been predestined. The issue of abiding was predestined. The issue of bearing fruit was predestined. You can't change it. You can't make your own version of Christianity. You can't make your own version of born again. It was predestined. You can't. What's predestined, no man can change. What's predestined, no one can change. No matter what you say, how you say it, if it's not the truth, it's not the truth. You cannot change it. Cannot change it. Predestined. And He says, if you don't abide, I'll cast you out. It's predestined. There's nothing that anyone can do about it. I say there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Yes. Glory to God. Let me jump to John 14. Verses 20 to 24. At that day you will know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. Our unity with God in the Spirit. That verse 20 is beautiful. It says, at that day, you will know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. Loving God is obedience. Obedience is loving God. If you notice, Jesus always equated obedience to love and love to obedience. Can you see that? Always did that. Because if you say you love God, you are saying you are an obedient child of God. If you don't keep My commandments, you don't love Me. That means if you are disobedient to Me, you don't love Me. He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him. That's intimate. That's intimate. That's very, very intimate. That's very lovely. I will manifest Myself. Why Jesus manifest Myself to him? Why does Jesus want to manifest Himself to you? Because it's a relationship. How can you have a relationship with that whom you don't even know? How can you have a relationship with someone you don't know? That's why He says, I'll manifest Myself to you. Because you cannot have a relationship with someone that you don't know. That's why He says, I'll manifest Myself to you. Listen to what Judas, not Iscariot, is saying. Judas, not Iscariot, he says, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? He was confused. Because we have a relationship with you. How do we have a relationship with you, Lord? This is Judas. Because, Lord, we know you. Now, Judas misunderstood. But Jesus was saying, to any and everyone that believes me, who keeps my word, I will manifest myself to that one so that we may have a relationship. How can you marry someone you don't know? How can you go to Home Affairs and say, I'm marrying Sophie Evergreen? And as Home Affairs, they say, where's Sophie Evergreen? Say, I've never seen Sophie Evergreen. I've never spoken to Sophie Evergreen. But Sophie Evergreen lives in the United Kingdom. Then they say, go home, you're crazy. How can you marry someone you don't know? You don't even have a relationship. Judas Iscariot is asking, how do you say you will manifest yourself to us? Because we know you and we already have a relationship with you. So this issue, this promise of Jesus manifesting himself to whomever keeps his word, it's a promise of a relationship. Why? Because Jesus, he came to give us a relationship with God and not a religion. I will manifest myself to you. How can you have a relationship with someone you don't know? How can we have a relationship? Preaching in the name of Jesus, you don't know. Laying hands on people in the name of Jesus, you don't know. Calling people into the kingdom of Jesus, you don't know. Serving a Jesus, you don't know. Faithful to a Jesus, you don't know. You don't know that you don't know, that you don't know. How are you even sure that what you are doing, this will be fruit that will be rewarded? You don't know, because you don't know him. They're involved in a very dangerous exercise. You may lose everything in the twinkling of an eye. When you say, Lord, I did this, I did that, he says, go away from me, I did not know you. Why? I did not have a relationship. No, no, Lord, I brought people into the kingdom. I baptized people. I healed people. I delivered people. I didn't have a relationship with you. No, 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 I did in the name of Jesus. I didn't have a relationship. Gonje, did I manifest myself to you? When? A year ago. Yes? Did I manifest myself to you? You claiming to know me, to have a relationship with me. Did I ever manifest myself to you? This is a promise of manifestation. It's a promise, church. To those who love me. Those who love me are those who obey my word. Those who obey my word are those who love me. And I will manifest. It's for everyone, not for special people. Amen. Lord, we did this in your name. Lord, we did that in your name. Running very dangerous missions. Not having a relationship with Jesus. Running ahead to serve Jesus. Can't serve Jesus when you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because your service must flow from the relationship. That's why we who are leaders of the people who are hurting people so much, we are hurting people because we don't know Jesus. You cannot know Jesus and hurt his people. You cannot know Jesus and hurt the people of Jesus. We leaders are hurting people so much because we don't know him. We don't know him. Are we together? I will manifest myself. Okay. Hlala. Until he manifests himself. Then he tells you what to do. No, we don't want. No. I must start a work in Zebediela. Time is short. That's not what God cares about. God cares more about having a relationship with you than you serving him. God cares more about you having a relationship with him than you serving him. Imagine if all of us were serving Jesus, knew Jesus. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to Judas, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now you see, without the word, there is no relationship with God. For some of us who take the word of God for granted. This is why, church, this is why it is very important that you take care that you listen only to the true word of God, because it is by the word of God that we have a relationship with God. Not everything that is called the word of God is the word of God. A lot of it has got man's wisdom. A lot of it has got man's philosophy. A lot of it has got man's manipulation. A lot of it has got man's deception. That word you can never have. A lot of the word that is taught today is the word that fosters a relationship between you and the preacher, between you and the pastor, but never between you and God. Now it tells you this word is questionable. A true word of God will foster a relationship between you and God. That's a true word of God. You will know God. But now we are preached to know our pastors. Every Sunday, every other day, we are preached to know our pastors. Preached to know the vine dresser and not the vine owner. That's a bit lopsided, don't you think? It's a bit lopsided. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We will come to him. Listen, if this does not make you thirsty for God, nothing else will do. Nothing else will ever make you thirsty for God. If this promise is real, this promise is truth, this promise is not symbolism. Please understand that. This is a real promise of the kingdom. This is the only Christianity that exists. Anything apart from this is not Christianity. It's got a semblance of Christianity, but it's not Christianity. This is Christianity. The only Christianity there is. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Relationship. Fellowship. Why? Because you and I were created for fellowship with God. This is what the devil attacked in the garden. This is what Adam lost in the garden, because man was created for a relationship with God. That's why he says, me and my Father, we will come and make our home. Our home. God says, this is our home. This person, this one, relationship. We are one. Now we are inseparable. If you believe this, if you understand this, really tell me, why would you be there to seek anything else other than this? Go to Uraidla. If you hearing this, if you understanding this, why would you still be seeking anything else? This is the promise. Not the promise of your father, of your pastor, not the promise of your bishop, not the promise of your prophet. This is a promise of God who made you. If you don't seek this, you don't love him. Because if you love him, you're going to want a fellowship with him. If you want no fellowship with him, you don't love him. This is Christianity. When you are sick, God will know. When you cry out, he will know your address. He will know your location. He will know exactly where you are. He'll know exactly where you are. You are always on God's radar. You are always on the radar. God's GPS knows where you are. Just like that Uber trip, that you always track the trip. You know now where the ride is, where the ride is at, where is the car. You like that. God is like that. In fact, it's not even like that. It's even closer. He says, let's make our home. Home, we are here. Home, we are here to stay. Home is not far. Home is here. Home is not far. Home is here. Make our home. Do you know what that means? God is in heaven. You are here. He says, we are coming to make our home with you. You are the physical here. So we are going to be here through you. Because we are here on earth. We are spirit. You are authorized to be here as the physical. So we are making our home with you. So God is on earth through me, because of me, by me, because I'm here. Make our home. Make our home. If God wants to enjoy the earth, he will enjoy it through me. Because he lives here on the earth in me, through me. Let's make our home. Let's make our home. This is the only Christianity there is. Be careful who teaches you the word. Some people, they will preach you dead into religion. Dead into religion, dead. You'll be a walking zombie, you are dead into religion. This is life. This is not about who preaches what, who preaches good, who preaches bad. This is life. It's a promise. Are we together, church? Yes. It's even difficult for me to move. We will come to him. We. Plural. Hey, come on. Jesus says, I will manifest. But when it comes here, now it's plural. No longer I. The manifesting, I will do it. But the coming to dwell, the making our home, is now plural. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you have a relationship with all three of them. When you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you have a relationship with all three of them. When you have a relationship with the Father, you have a relationship with all of them. What does it tell you? It's impossible to have a relationship with anyone of the Godhead and not with them together. It's impossible. Verse number 24 is painful, but it's true, and it's happening even right this moment, right this hour. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. He who does not love me does not keep my word. Without the word, there's no relationship with God. And it means if you're not paying attention to the word, you don't love him. And without the word, you can have no relationship with him. The word you hear, be careful from whom you hear it. And secondly, how you hear it. The word you hear. This word has got power to bring you immediately into a relationship with the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This word has got power to right now. It's just for you to believe it. Right now as I'm preaching, it's got power to bring you into a relationship with the Godhead instantly. Instantly. It's got that power. It's got that power. Glory to God. Let's summarize in closing. Abiding is about a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So this issue of abiding is an issue of a relationship. Number two, abiding is about growth and maturity into the nature, the character, the behavior, the conduct, the thinking, and the way of speaking of Jesus Christ. We read scriptures to this effect. It's about growth and maturity into who Christ is. We need to grow into Christ's likeness. We have said it's a command. It is mandatory. It is compulsory in the kingdom. And if it does not happen, you stand in danger of being cast out as a branch. Danger of being cast out. Number three, I've already said this, abiding is mandatory, and also it begins with the word. Please, it begins with the word. It begins. I said it last week, I think. If you've been into church and you paid attention to everything but the word, you did not have church that day. You didn't have church that day. Jesus Christ is his word. The word is Jesus. Finally, Christianity is about fellowship between God and man. This is the John 14 we're reading to you. Christianity is about a relationship between God and man. He says, I will manifest myself to you. Why would he manifest? He confused Judas, not Iscariot. He was confused. Because he says, how can you have a relationship with me when you don't know me? How? Pastor, how can you run a church but you don't know me? Pastor, if you claim to know me, when did I present myself to you? Pastor, when did I manifest myself to you? Pastor, when did I show myself to you? Pastor, how are you leading my people to me when you, Pastor, don't even know me? You can lie to the people, Pastor. Lie to them, say you know me. But you know, Pastor, that I don't know you. And Pastor, if you continue like this, in the end, I'm going to deny you. I already have examples in scripture of those that I deny, and I'll deny you exactly like them because you are stubborn like them. Stubborn pastors producing stubborn people. Relationship. Prophet Kai is my spiritual father, but do we know each other? When I say yes, you say no. When I say left, you say right. When I say stop, you say go. So what relationship do we have? Christ says, if you don't obey the word, you don't love me. There's no relationship. That means if I say green, you say green. Then we have a relationship. Where I said red, you don't say orange. Then we have a relationship. And of course, based on the word. Not based on my own imaginations, but based on the word. Not based on my own imaginations. That's why everything any and every pastor says or does, we must take it to scripture. If it does not line up with scripture, we reject it with the contempt it deserves. We don't care about your title, we reject it. Prophet, PhD, we reject it if it doesn't line up to scripture. Let's clap hands for him.